Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Cory with a Lot Podcast Show. Everybody, don't you know the pandemics of the world? It's probably going to get worse. COVID-19 is not the last pandemic. Another one can happen today, tomorrow, in the future. And I got some content for y'all to listen to and remind you of the flu back in 1918 and some of the other pandemics of the world, you know. So don't think COVID-19 is gone, because where I work at, the Judgment Community for Stella Mars here in Baltimore. And some of the fathers got COVID, you know. And that's most of them on my floor, the floor that I do, you know. And, you know, it's been 3 years, 20, 21, 22, 23, 3 years since the breakout. Coming up on the anniversary of the breakout, you know. But we got people where I work at that have COVID. Some of the residents have COVID, you know. And they, like I said, they doing good. Everybody doing good and everything. So today was my day off, but, you know, they doing really good. And I just want to warn everybody, don't think it's over. No. Do not think it's over. Because this thing can take a nosedive fast. Alright? Be aware. Be mindful. Be very aware of what's going on. This was a scary disease, and the YouTube channel called I Am a Black Death, the Pantanic Doctor.
This is far from the first plague. The historians tell us that they've occurred for centuries, yet each seems as if the world is finally coming to its end. From the plague of Justiniana that ravaged the eastern Roman capital of Constantinople to the Black Death that left over a third of Europe dead. Now, 300 years after the last terrible outbreak on the continent, it has reappeared here in Venice. And this plague has hit our city hard. Once a center of culture and commerce, we are seeing our time as a powerful city-state waning. The streets are empty and the shops are barren, with over a third of the population dead or dying. We tried locking the sick away in pest houses, stripping those who show signs of disease on their clothes and possessions, and burning them, and even quarantining them to an island in an attempt to do something, anything to stop this spread. But nothing has seemed to work. The number of infected grows by the day, and the death count rises higher and higher. The plague is a true nightmare for those unlucky enough to become stricken by it. Strange swellings appear on the body, especially under the arms and around the groin, growing to the size of apples, and the weeping blood that pass before her.
Man, that's scary. Seeing something when you're growing, that's scary, man. That gotta be scary for any man.
Erupting into painful sores. The body is then overcome with fever and the chills. The patient can keep no food down and is wasted away by diarrhea and vomiting. It can progress so quickly that there's nothing I can do. Often someone goes to sleep healthy with no symptoms and is dead by morning. We are unsure of where the plague came from or how it spreads. Some think it only comes from the touching of an already infected individual. Others believe that spirits jump from the eyes of the sick into those of the healthy, carrying the death with them. As for myself, I believe that the foul air, known as miasma, carried this horrible malady. It is also why the most important piece of equipment is also the one that marks me most clearly as a plague doctor. My mask. Each day, I fill the nose with fresh flowers and herbs, using the pleasant smells to ward off the plague. I coat my clothes in a thick layer of sweat, or animal fat, in order to seal in the fabric and prevent any bad airs from penetrating to my skin. I focus on combating the odor that seems to follow the sick and encouraging the healthy to stay well by staying indoors and surrounding themselves with the present aromas. I employ other techniques on those who are not yet at death's door, such as a bloodletting with leeches or lancing the swollen boils in an attempt to drain the sickness away. Though I must take great care to ensure that none of the potentially deadly fluids touch my skin. I am also cautious not to touch the sickest of patients at all. My cane allows me to examine their bodies from a distance, though when they are at that advanced stage, usually all I can do is direct the family to remove the body from the home when the patient eventually succumbs. Their bodies are added onto the carts that patrol the streets daily. Stacked high with corpses, these carts are dragged along by some poor soul who will no doubt be joining his cargo soon. They're taken out of the city and given a Christian burial if they are lucky, and burned in a great pile if they are not. Day after day, I see more and more falling victim to this plague. I dream of a day when we can return Venice to its former glory, where hundreds of trade ships pass through a harbor and princes summon the world's most talented artists to create great works to adorn the palaces. I fear that those days are dead and gone, and that there is little or anyone but God can do to stop this unending march of death. I make it a long track back to the section of the city where my home is, an area that luckily has been largely untouched by the plague. On my way, I stop to pray to St. Mary of Health at the new basilica that has been built in her honor, in hope that more offerings to God will end this catastrophe and perhaps serve as a penance for whatever our worldly deeds have brought this biblical punishment upon us. The day grows long, and I feel very tired, so I make my way home. I take great care when removing my mask, checking that there are no openings where the disease there may have seeped in. I lay out my roll of tools so that they are ready for another day of tending to the unwell. I carefully remove my coat.
Okay, this video is called "I Am a Black Death." The Pancanon Doctor.
Always anticipating is here.
And it's about the story about the Black Death. I mean, another pandemic that went on in the world before I was born. Probably before some of y'all was born too, and some of y'all probably did had hear about it and all. But it's more contact that I got, and
since house call program is a lot easier, it's made us so much better, faster.
It's Monday, March 11th, 1918, at a military training facility in Kansas called Fort Riley.
This is why the Spanish flu.
Then on that particular day, a mess cook named Private Albert Gitchell woke up feeling like hell. He had a high fever, his throat was sore, and his body ached all over. The man went to see a nurse, and indeed, the guy was burning up. He had a temperature of 103 degrees. Soon after Gitchell, one Corporal Lee Drake visited the nurse with pretty much the same symptoms. Sergeant Adolf Herbie was next to join the line, and that line would keep getting longer and longer. Was Gitchell patient zero? That's a matter of controversy. But more and more sick American soldiers at camps all over the country would head to battlefields of Europe. All hell was about to break loose. Before we get to just how devastating this flu was, in view of what we just told you, you're probably wondering why it was called the Spanish flu and not the Kansas flu. Well, as to where the flu originated, it's been studied by...
So, now you know what flu was in 1918, during the First War.
Many researchers for many years. In 1916 to 1917 in France, hundreds of thousands of soldiers passed through a certain hospital camp in France. There, military pathologists reported a flu-like disease that had a high mortality rate. One theory, and a serious one at that, is that the disease spread from the poultry at the camp into the pigs and then to the humans. Other researchers have postulated that it started in Austria or China, or in some parts of East Asia, or indeed the USA. It might have been imported to Europe or originated in Europe, and that discussion is still going on. The reason we call it the Spanish flu is merely because Spain's media wasn't heavily censored during wartime, and so that country's newspapers made it look like Spain, neutral in the war, was the worst-hit country of all, which wasn't true. The name seems to have stuck, though it should be called not the Spanish flu. This deadly flu traveled fast, and it's estimated that around 27% of the world's population of 1.8 to 1.9 billion people got infected. It's hard to get the exact numbers, and the estimates vary widely. But it's thought that the death toll of this flu was at least 50 million, and maybe as much as 100 million. That's more people than died in World War I. Around 500,000 people from the USA died from the flu. And what's surprising is that young adults from their 20s to their 40s were the worst hit. To put that into perspective for you, in 1917, the life expectancy in the US was 51. In 1918, it had dropped to 39. The theory why the virus seemed to kill more people who you could say should have had the strongest immune systems, those in the prime of their life, is that a similar flu pandemic had happened some decades earlier, but that flu wasn't quite as lethal. The survivors of that flu may have developed an immunity, and so when the Spanish flu came around, they dealt with it better. As for not getting the very young people, the theory is the flu had less effect on them. There's another reason the healthiest people died, and we'll get around to that soon. The Spanish flu was virtually in every part of the world. In India, an estimated 17 million people died, around 5% of the country's population. In the Dutch East Indies, around 1.5 million people died. 390,000 Japanese people succumbed to the deadly disease. In Britain, 250,000 flu deaths were reported, and in France, 400,000 people died. In Iran, the number of people that died was between 902,400 and 2,431,000. Some smaller rural communities were the worst hit in terms of death ratios, and that's because they tended to live in closer confines. For example, in German Samoa, 90% of the population came down with the Spanish flu. 30% of adult men died, as did 22% of adult women, as well as 10% of the children. Few places in the world were not hit by the flu.
Now, they said the pandemic, COVID-19, was one of the worst pandemics. It's more worse than the Spanish flu. And the numbers that I saw on CNN and on MSNBC, I would say we lost a lot of people in 2020 and 2021. And they say it was more worse than 9/11 and the Spanish flu. And just listening to this proves that the Bible is telling the truth about the four horsemen. You know, it's really telling the truth. It got some truth in it. I lived to one pandemic. I just can't imagine living to two, you know.
and that's because they were so remote. For example, islands in Fiji in the South Pacific, called the Lau and Yasawa Islands, had no cases, as did Marajo Island on Brazil's Amazon Delta. Some parts of Alaska were also spared the horrors of the pandemic. We're not going to spend an entire show on the death toll estimates from all over the world, because that would take up all the time. And we're sure by now you understand that the Spanish flu wreaked havoc across all four corners of the globe, and was one of the most terrifying things that happened in the 20th century. But let's talk about how it spread so fast, and why it couldn't be contained. Well, for one thing, infected soldiers living in close quarters and often terrible conditions didn't help matters, and neither did the fact that those soldiers were traveling far and wide. The war was a world war, and it involved many countries, some with empires and many colonies. It's believed that there was a first wave of the flu, but that deadlier second wave spread so fast because of wartime troop movements. This is how one historian put it. The entire military-industrial complex of moving lots of men and material in crowded conditions was certainly a huge contributing factor in the ways the pandemic spread. The first wave was not so bad, more like a seasonal flu one might get these days. But that second wave was fearsome, especially when reports came in that young, healthy people had come down with a fever and then were dead within 24 hours.
The only way to do it is to automate it. What Zapier allows us to do is connect to our customers, Shopify's...
Come down with a fever, and then were dead within 24 hours. How could that happen? Well, in some cases, the patient would first have a very high fever. Next would come nasal hemorrhaging and pneumonia. Their lungs would fill with fluid, and they would literally drown in that fluid. Doctors at the time were not aware of what was happening. Some British doctors said the state of the deceased lungs were so bad that chemical warfare had to be to blame. We now know that there's a condition known as cytokine explosion. This is basically an immune response from the body to help a person when he or she has been attacked by a virus. But there can be an overreaction, and when the body sends too many of the messenger proteins called cytokines, this can create an explosion. The downside to this is inflammation and that fluid buildup in the lungs we just mentioned. This might also be the reason that mostly people in their 20s to 40s died, because their really strong immune systems caused the biggest storms of cytokines. Their body overreacted. Now, let's let you listen to the words of a U.S. Surgeon General who witnessed the sight of hundreds of young soldiers entering a hospital, all suffering from the Spanish flu. This is how he described the scene. They're placed on the cots until every bed is full, yet others crowd in. Their faces soon wear a bluish cast. A distressing cough brings up the blood-stained sputum. In the morning, the dead bodies are stacked about the morgue like cordwood. Back then, the doctors didn't know what the virus was, and they weren't equipped with electron microscopes to study the virus. These days, doctors do have those things, and they know how to isolate a virus. And because of that, they can look at its genetic sequence and then attempt to create antiviral drugs and hopefully come up with a vaccine. In 1918, when all the troops from around the world were mixing together and going back to their hometowns, there was no such technology. On top of that, when people...
And just imagine... No technology, no internet, no hot radio broadcast, high definition radio or nothing like that, no TV. Just imagine living in that period right there and have to go through the Spanish flu and don't know that you're going to get it or not. COVID-19, we had the internet, we had TV, we had international news, world news, and local news covering the pandemic every day. They didn't have none of that back in 1916 and 17, 18. Man, just imagine that. Wow. How far we came. How far we came, man.
Showed early signs of the disease and moved it about in public, it was hard to test them, and so they weren't quarantined as they would be now. Humans are now very good at estimating where a virus will spread, so can isolate various places. Now there's something called contact tracing, which basically means health authorities looking at who's been close to someone who's been infected, and then testing those people to see if they got it. The healthcare workers now will wear protective equipment, and the public will have daily updated knowledge on what they can do to stay away from the disease, or at least do the right thing to reduce their chances of getting it. None of that happened back then, and there was no way workers could just choose to work at home, or people could go on the internet to find the latest news. As we said, most media during the war war, including that of the U.S., the U.K., and France, were not reporting the spread of the deadly disease because it didn't look good for the war effort. Spain did most of the media reporting, and if you hadn't done your research, you'd think this flu originated there. We should say this, though. The authorities did know that people spread disease to other people. That much was obvious to anyone. Europeans and most of the rest of the world knew all about pandemics and that infected people should be kept away from healthy people. In Britain during the war, the chief medical officer of the local government board, Sir Arthur Newsholm, knew very well that a lockdown could help prevent further spread of the disease. But that was out of the question because of the war effort.
He was just like Donald Trump.
Factories and many other industries just could not stop. Research shows he knew what was happening, but he encouraged the British to just carry on.
And Donald Trump knew what was happening in 2020. And he go play golf.
You can't just blame Britain for this. The world was at war, and countries weren't about to start quarantining large parts of their populations. That didn't mean that people weren't warned to avoid busy places, and some stores in the USA were at least closed. Signs hung on the door warning of the spread of this deadly influenza. In Japan and Australia, people were photographed in the streets wearing face masks. You can even find news reports from back then of boy...
Okay, it says, why the Spanish flu killed over 50 billion... people and death line pandemic in the March. Okay, this is on YouTube. So let's go to what the lady was saying about Donald Trump.
Big Energy bans homemade generator.
It was discovered in Artesia, New Mexico. An authority.
He's back. Or is he? Welcome to Unfiltered. I'm SE Cup. The Donald Trump of 2016, who slayed more than a dozen GOP dragons in the Republican primary to become the unlikely nominee for president, is hoping to make a comeback. Looking for a repeat of 2016 in 2024, Trump appears to be reverting to the old playbook, swinging hard and early at his opponents. We all remember the ugly punches he threw, many of which were unprecedented in their nastiness. Trashing Carly Fiorina's face, attacking Ted Cruz's wife, mocking little Marco Rubio's stature, questioning Ben Carson's faith. Gross as it was, it worked. No one was able to match him in the ring. His voters seemed to revel in the name-calling while the rest of us cringed. He'd carry the act into his presidency, lashing out at opponents both real and imaginary, getting in the gutter whenever possible.
The worst
Trump's act
ever.
Was novel back then, but what about now, more than 6 years later? We've seen this show thousands of times, at rallies, on Twitter and Truth Social, in interviews and on debate stages. It isn't titillating or shocking now. It's almost boring, in fact. And his punches seem to have lost some of their sting. Back in November, Trump tried out a new nickname for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is believed to be considering a run for president, calling him Ron DeSanctimonious at a Pennsylvania rally. Sounding a little more erudite than Trump's usual schoolyard taunts, the nickname hasn't stuck. This week, he called DeSantis a rhino globalist for pushing vaccines and COVID testing in Florida. Somehow that doesn't seem all that fatal either. Trump's insisting that DeSantis would be very disloyal if he challenged him, but a number of GOP senators, from John Cornyn to John Thune, Cynthia Lummis to Marco Rubio, have said, no, anyone can run. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, a one-time Trump supporter, is also expected to throw her hat in the ring. Thus far, Trump's had a light touch, questioning her honor while encouraging her to try taking him on. And he mocked his former Vice President Mike Pence, who's also mulling a run, for coming in at 7% in a poll of hypothetical GOP presidential contenders. Oh, Mike is doing better than I thought, he poked. Meh. Sorry, I know we're just getting started, but this Trump doesn't seem to pack the punch that 2016 Trump did. His fundraising numbers appear to agree. He's brought in $9.5 million in the 6 weeks since he announced his bid, compared to the $11.8 million he raised before the announcement. Going in the wrong direction. It's early, but so far this Trump seems, how should we say, low energy? Maybe he's lost his touch as he's faced one political storm after another, Or maybe we've just been to see the wizard, and we've seen behind the curtain.
That's right.
And he isn't all that impressive anymore.
No, he ain't. He wasn't.
Only time will tell as more and more Republicans get in the race and test whether the Trump punch has lost its sting. That's it for me. See you next week.
So, people, now you know what Donald Trump is doing. And I just hope the people who's running against him stand up to him, especially the vice president. Mike Pence, stand your ground, man. Stand your ground, because he almost got you killed, yo. Stand your ground. I would love to see you as president. You might be a Republican, but I would love to see you as president, Mike Pence. I think you will bring back the days of Ronald Reagan, Bush, and all. You might gonna have, you're going to have your Republican opinion and your Republican thing, but I definitely think you're going to do well. And a lot of Democrat people who vote going to probably work for you too. You know, if that's the president that we're going to get, I'm sure a lot of Democrats people are going to work for you. Not only with what you've been through in the Capitol, but you're more mature. You show what a president should be, Mr. Michael, Mr. Pence, Mr. Vice President. Hopefully, you stand your ground and you will become nominated. And you will knock Donald Trump out of his place. Okay? And the other candidates, don't back off. Don't back off for him, the Republican candidates. I know it's early. Put your faith in God. Because any Republican who runs besides Donald Trump, I will be cheering for, okay, in high spirit. Any besides Donald, besides Trump, I ain't gonna call him Mr. Trump, I ain't gonna call him President Trump, I'm gonna just call him Trump, and that's all he deserves, to be called Trump. A little Trump. So, all your candidates, Republican candidates, stand your ground. Special Mike Pence, stand your ground, Mr. Vice President. That's all I can say. Okay? I mean, please don't let this man get back in office. You're already seeing what Putin doing. Just please don't let this man get back in office. You already seen what happened January the 6th, 2020. Do we want to repeat that? Because it might be worse next time around. We don't want another embarrassment around the world. We don't want another United States embarrassment with another United States embarrassment president. I mean, he was so ashamed. Just so ashamed. He just wasn't my president. He wasn't recognizing me in no way. Go overseas, push some presidents out the way. Look all evil, standing next to other world leaders, you know, and then he think he's the toughest one there. If I was one of the China president or Spain president or France president, I would just knock them out. Guys, just go back and look at some of those pictures when he went overseas, did the 20G, and how he was just standing there with his lip poked out. Somebody would have stepped on his lip, he probably would have howled. Looking all yellow and pale. Look like the real Dick Tracy. The yellow hair. All pale looking. And look like that. No, anybody remember the V? 1985? The miniseries, the V? His eyes look so black. He looked like one of those lizards from the V. I'm sorry. Just look at a close picture of him. And then look at the picture of one in the V's. When just pair the two pictures together. The visitors. Remember the 1985, 84, 85 NBC miniseries, The Visitors? Pair the picture to one of the V's and pair a picture to Donald Trump. Put them together. They had black eyes too. I think he starring that show. He played one of the lizard people, the visitors. No wonder people keep saying they seen aliens. We had one as a president. I'm terrible. Okay, God forgive me. Oh, jeez, forgive me. But we gotta wake up. We gotta wake up, people. It's the 21st century, people. And Donald Trump is losing his what you call him? I mean, here's some stuff that can get into your body that I didn't even know. And they was talking about 10, 13 deadly worms that can get into your body. Here we go.
The new Batman movie coming out.
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, it's a timeless story about good and evil.
The animal kingdom is full of terrifying and deadly parasites. While there aren't any that'll
eat their way out of
a human's chest, unlike a certain sci-fi movie that makes us afraid, there is no shortage of parasitic animals that would love nothing more than to feed on you. These are the 13 most painful parasites that infect humans. Number 13, tapeworms. One of the most common parasites, tapeworms usually make their way inside the human body as hitchhikers alongside your lunch or dinner. These tiny ribbon-like worms lurk inside the flesh of animals, commonly fish, beef, or pork. When you unwittingly consume them, these creatures don't get digested. They set up camp in the digestive tract and can live there for a long time. Their long bodies have hooks or suckers that embed themselves into the intestine, and then they get all their energy they need to live by absorbing part of your food. But they don't stay invisible for long. People who are infected with tapeworms soon report symptoms including nausea, vomiting, digestive issues, unexplained weight loss, and signs of malnutrition including dizziness. While most people eventually expel their tapeworm through their digestive tract, which can be a disgusting sight in the bathroom, they can survive for up to 25 years. And when ingested as eggs or larvae, the tapeworm can reproduce in the body. Larvae can turn into cysts that migrate through the body, even in the brain, where they can potentially cause serious illness or even death. This parasite is often invisible, but the next makes itself very well known. Number 12, bed bugs. These little insects are the scourge of anyone who stays in a hotel. Tiny, blood-sucking insects that are notoriously hard to find and eliminate. They spread in high-density areas and can hide in mattress seams or wall cracks. When they attach to a person, their bites cause a host of skin issues that become impossible to ignore. Skin rashes, blisters, and constant itchiness become a part of regular life until the bed bugs are eliminated, and more severe cases can result in fatigue and fever. While the insects aren't known to spread serious diseases, unlike other pesky blood-sucking insects, one of their biggest threats is causing allergic reactions. And while many exterminators will promise to get rid of a bed bug infestation, these little buggers can live up to 70 days without feeding and reproduce fast, making them likely to be unwelcome guests for a long time. These next parasites make their presence known in a very unpleasant way. Number 11, pinworms. Roundworms are a common species of parasitic worm that lay eggs in the body, but many of them don't pose a serious danger to humans. That's not to say you don't want to avoid them, especially the pinworm, a small worm that spreads via its eggs. It can be picked up via contact with the hands and then getting swallowed, and then it goes to where the sun don't shine. The pinworm likes to lay its eggs around the anus, and this causes a host of uncomfortable symptoms for unlucky humans. Pinworm hosts report itching around the anus, painful bowel movements, and difficulty sleeping due to constant annoyance. Fortunately, it can be treated with a number of medications, but the worm spreads so quickly that the doctors recommend everyone who lives with the infected take the medicine. This parasite is so common that it's estimated that 20% of children in the United States will get infected. Some roundworms, though, can cause much more serious infections. Number 10, filarial worms. Everyone knows mosquitoes are annoying, but some can carry something far more dangerous. These pesky bloodsuckers are host to tiny roundworms that can cause a whole host of diseases. Mosquitoes are a common transmitter of plague, and the World Health Organization estimates that more than 120 million people have an infection of filarial worms. While many of them don't cause any symptoms at all, they have the nasty effect of clogging lymphatic vessels in some cases. Another variety affects the eyes. These worms can usually be treated with antiparasitic medication, but if left untreated, can cause serious ailments. They're one of the world's leading causes of blindness, and in severe cases, can cause elephantitis syndrome, a disorder that causes extreme swelling due to the inability of the lymph glands to drain, mostly affecting the legs. The next parasitic worm has more aggressive tastes. Number 9. Hookworm. The hookworm is a species of roundworm that's common in many countries around the world, especially those without access to clean water. The larvae infects people both orally and through the skin, at which point it sets up camp inside the human digestive tract for a feast. Pretty similar to other parasitic worms, except the hookworm doesn't want your food. It wants your blood. These worms latch onto the intestinal tract and start acting like a vampire, causing major health issues for the unfortunate
host. Definitely one. Don't want that.
It can cause abdominal pain, nausea, diarrhea, and most seriously, anemia that can result in weakness and other serious health conditions. This worm kills up to 60,000 people a year. And the good news is it's vulnerable to many antiparasitic medications, but it's hard to detect before it reaches maturity. But it's not the most deadly parasitic worm. Number 8. Whipworm. The whipworm is a soil-based parasite that infects over 500 million people worldwide and is most spread.
Now, y'all need to look some of these up. Do some research on some of these worms.
The eggs hatch and take up residence in the large intestine. While many cases are asymptomatic, those who have heavy infections can find themselves seriously sick. Not only do these worms wreak havoc on the digestive tract, but it can trigger more serious illnesses like appendicitis that require emergency surgery. Its most dangerous effect, though, may be on children. Kids who are infected can suffer delayed growth and cognitive impairment, as well as suffering from nutritional ailments. Experts estimate this worm kills upwards of 60,000 people a year, but like other parasitic worms, it can be killed off with antiparasitic medication. But the biggest challenge of battling these worms is preventing infections and treating people before they progress to serious cases. One worm makes its presence known with a name that says terror. Number 7. Dracunculus medinensis, or the guinea worm, translated as little dragon of the Mediterranean. The proper name of the guinea worm gives away that this worm is a killer. The female worms are among the largest worms that can infect humans, growing up to 31 inches in length, longer than many snakes as they slither around in the human gut. It's not surprising that they can cause excruciating pain. They infect people through contaminated drinking water and are most common in the rural areas of Africa and tropical regions like Southwest Asia and India. Once embedded in the human body, the effects can be deadly. These worms cause a secondary disease as the female worms try to emerge from the body through the skin. The chemical she releases can cause infections, nausea, blisters, and itching. But if she fails to emerge and gets stuck in the body, the worm can cause arthritis, paralysis, or severe swelling from the infection and resulting immune response. To treat this, doctors look for a blister where the worm's going to emerge and then use warm water to lure the worm out. They then slowly pull it out and wrap it around a stick. It can take several days to remove a full-sized guinea worm, followed by treatment with antibiotics and bandages. These
Boy, this stuff is scary,
for
man.
You to consume them.
This stuff is really scary.
Everyone's scared of leeches, those predatory worms that latch onto your skin in water and... But the blood fluke takes that nasty MO to the next level. After spending part of their life in a snail host, they lurk in the water and enter the skin of humans and proceed to feed on their blood. They can live for decades and can remain asymptomatic for years. But when things go bad, they go very bad. When they cause a series of infections called schistosomiasis, they can affect almost every part of the body. Their most serious symptom is swelling, which can cause long-term damage to glands and can even cause liver failure if left untreated. While the parasite can be treated with the same antiparasitic medications useful against other worms, these parasites are particularly common in Africa and are estimated to cause up to 200,000 deaths a year, making the blood fluke one of the deadliest parasites worldwide. The next... is much more visible and much more painful. Number 5. Jiggers. Any dog or cat owner probably knows how annoying fleas are, constantly jumping everywhere and biting, but that's nothing compared to the sand flea, also known as the jigger. These fleas are common in Central and South America and have arrived in sub-Saharan Africa, and they have a parasitic tactic that can make every step miserable. The smallest known flea, they lurk in the sand and attach to people as they burrow headfirst into the skin, usually on the foot. This causes swelling and lesions as the female swells up with eggs. This is just the beginning of the problem. It's common for the victims of jiggers to have dozens or even hundreds of them embedded in their feet. As the fleas die off, this can cause infection that results in pain, scabbing, dead skin, and permanent deformation of the toes. As pulling the fleas out can cause their bodies to tear and leave parts behind, jigger infestations are treated by a doctor to carefully remove any trace of the attached flea and disinfect the area, which can be a lengthy process. The next parasite also makes itself way too welcome in the human body. Number 4. The human botfly. Flies usually do little more than buzz around you, making that annoying sound. But Dermatobia hominis, or the human botfly, has a particularly invasive method of reproduction. Its eggs are carried by other insects like mosquitoes, which bite humans, transferring the eggs into the open wound. Then they hatch there, and the larva wedges itself into the human skin, growing there and creating a visible grub sticking out of the skin. Disgusting, but not dangerous, usually. The biggest danger the human botfly poses is infection, because when you see a grub sticking out of your skin, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to try to pull it out. That's a mistake, because while the body breaks off and the grub dies, the head and jaws attaching it to the body stay in place. That becomes a vector for potentially deadly infection. The best way to safely remove a botfly larva without medication or professional help? To suffocate it with a coating of petroleum jelly. After a day, it can be removed with tweezers. It makes sense that Australia would have deadly parasites, and the next one adds a killer kick to a common pest. Number 3. Australian paralysis tick. Ticks are common parasites jumping from animal to human and sucking blood. While they're usually easy to remove with tweezers because they stay on the outside of the body, their main threat is a vector for deadly disease, including the potentially lethal Lyme disease. But one tick down under poses a bigger threat, one that can kill quickly. Not only can it cause allergic reactions, but it secretes a toxin that can cause neuromuscular function to fail. Within 8 to 12 hours of injection, paralysis can set in and even cause respiratory failure if it's allowed to progress. While these reactions aren't common, with only about 20 fatalities reported in Australia, this tick is one of Australia's most feared animals. And in the land of the bird-eating spiders, that's saying something. The penultimate parasite is invisible and deadly. Number 2. Brain-eating amoeba. Not a true amoeba, but a tiny shape-shifting organism, this microscopic bacteria eater lives in bodies of warm, fresh water. This means that it can be lurking anywhere people want to take a dip. Rivers, lakes, wells, or even swimming pools that aren't treated with enough chlorine. While it doesn't function like other parasites and feed on humans long-term, this organism has one major impact on humans. It causes a rare but almost invariably fatal brain infection that can kill a healthy person in days. And it's shown up in the happiest place on Earth. One of the earliest cases that brought this parasite to the public's attention was when a young boy died of the infection after swimming at Disney's River Country Water Park. The parasite enters through the nasal cavity, usually when swimming, but occasionally through rinsing out the sinuses. It travels to the brain, where it changes up its usual diet of bacteria and starts eating the brain's astrocytes and neurons. Symptoms appear an average of 5 days, and by then it's usually too late. While this parasite can't be spread spread between humans. It soon results in headaches, nausea, a stiff neck, decreasing brain function, seizures, and eventually death. But no parasite causes as much death as our number one. Number one, malaria plasmodium. When you think about the deadly disease malaria, you probably think about mosquitoes. These biting pests do spread the disease, but the actual cause of malaria is a single-celled parasite called plasmodium. These protozoans enter the body through the mosquito's saliva, and they infect red blood cells. The cells swell and burst, infecting the bloodstream, thus spreading to mosquitoes when they bite a host containing the virus. This makes it one of the fastest spreading parasitic infections in the world, affecting up to 600 million people a year. And things can get bad for the unfortunate victims. Malaria starts with simple symptoms, including fever and chills, but in some cases evolve into something deadly. Vomiting and severe sweating turn to anemia, seizures, and possible damage to the blood's vital organs and bloodstream. This can cause the victims to slip into a coma, suffer serious neurological issues, and potentially die. Several hundred thousand people die of malaria each year, most in the global south. And while no vaccine is available, treatments are available to lessen the severity of symptoms. The challenge is to outrace the fast-spreading parasite, which spreads as quickly as the mosquito flies. For more on tiny organisms that cause mass chaos, watch Why Spanish Flu Killed Over 50 Million People, Deadliest Plague in Modern History, or check out 13 Most Dangerous.
Okay, you heard the pandemic of 1916, 1718, the Spanish flu, and those worms they was talking about that can get in your body and all that gross stuff, the flies and stuff like that. If you have any of that stuff, the one that I was just playing, just get to medical professional help, okay? Some of these things can really kill you, okay? Any symptoms, anything, all right? But this is some of the things that the world is facing, people. This is some of the things that's out there that we know about. But as the earth get warmer, and the North Pole and South Pole milks, there's more pandemic and diseases and deadly stuff that was frozen long time ago. Pandemic, all kinds of diseases was frozen. Now the Antarctic and South Pole is melting, and these diseases is coming down the water and stuff. And people going up there and also live there. Alaska is melt. Used to be real cold, but ice capsules are melting. And these open doors for pandemics and those nasty things they was talking about. New stuff is being discovered. And the CDC, they know about this stuff. No, they know some of this stuff was frozen in time. Now it's melting, and these diseases is coming down the river, and sometimes, man, people go up there, climb mountains, Alaska and all, and then these diseases open up. So do your research on it, and new diseases, something like that. When stuff get inside your body, tank worms and stuff. And these are some of the stuff that we know about. Like I said, it's new stuff is being discovered every day. And it's more dangerous than COVID-19. And you just see, do your research. Go to the CDC, and see some of the stuff that they have. Some kind of all the diseases around the world. didn't make its way here yet. You know, and probably, hopefully, it would never do. Because if it do, and some of those diseases overseas make their way here, we definitely in trouble. And then we get a, and then Donald Trump comes president again, and then we get a new disease from one of those countries over there, like Africa and China. Oh my God. I just can't imagine. The man gonna probably go take a vacation and go and go golfing. I mean, it's this crazy, people. And I just say that, just be careful. You see any of that stuff inside of you or have the systems and stuff, be careful, people. Alright, I just want to share some of these videos with you. And this is what the show is about. Okay, UFOs, news about pandemic and parasites and all. This is a show about something, about nothing, a little about something. And this I just want to share with my audience and let you know some of the deadly worms and bugs that can crawl inside of you and you don't know you have it until it's too late. You know, it's all on YouTube. Go do your research. We got the internet now. That's what the internet for, to do research, not to do bad things with it, to do learning, learn stuff with it. You know, that's why we know so much about Black history, more Black history that opened up, wasn't in the Black history books. We found out, you know, and all of y'all from Black and White to celebrate Black history, keep celebrating. Find new stuff. Okay? Go on Facebook. Do your own podcast about it. Do your YouTube. Do a YouTube channel about it. The stuff, the new stuff that you found. You know? I like to learn. I like to see some new stuff. I mean, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s was a rough time for Black people. And they covered up a lot of stuff, including the 50s and 60s, you know, and we just learning about it here in the 21st century, you know. A lot of people got away with stuff, killing innocent human beings, this is because that color was different. This disgusting, man, very disgusting. I'd like to give a shout out to all my promoters on Fiverr. Thank y'all guys for doing a wonderful job to get me new audience. Hopefully you can get me some more international and national audience. I got New York, I got Florida, I got Idaho, I got Oklahoma, I got Arizona, got, hopefully I can get California, hopefully I can get Texas, Chicago, and get Maine, get New Hampshire, get New England, some more Baltimore, Pittsburgh, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, Nashville, Amsterdam, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Washington, and many of y'all, that's Nevada. I just hope that y'all can give me all those states. And international news is not too much important, but those who listen to me overseas, thank you. I love y'all guys, and understand what I'm saying and everything. Enough, okay? If you don't understand me, just try to act like you understand it, okay? I mean, If you're a Star Trek fan overseas and you like the content, thank you. Thank you. God bless you too. And all. Sometimes words, I get my tongue twisted on some words, you know. Like I said, I have a disability. I ain't no shame. I ain't no shame about it. No shame in my book. You know, it is what it is. That's what God gave me, you know. But he made me really talent. He gave me wisdom and knowledge and all. May have a little small disability where I can't read it or write that well. But I have that disability to go take the driving test and pass. Now I'm going to take the road test. So that disability ain't slowing me down. It's just there, you know. Because God says, through me, your disability don't matter. I can make you do anything. That's what he said. So, just thank y'all for trying to understand me. Those who do understand me, thank you for understanding me. And all. I just like to give some thanks sometimes, you know, once in a while. Because gotta be really appreciated on some of the fans to stop and listen to you. And thank you for all couriers, all platforms that carry the show. Thank you from Apple on down to Google Play, iHeart, Speak, Amazon, Alexa, and more. And Apple Store, all of y'all. Thank y'all for carrying the show. And I appreciate it so much. Just God bless you and everything. And once again, it's that time to say goodbye. I'm keeping Go With The Flow for one more season. Then next season, you're going to hear a different song. But the Go With The Flow is so good with this show. That's why I just don't want to let it go. Because that's what I'm trying to get people to just do. Go With The Flow. Don't worry about nothing what people say about you or what you can do. If you got God, you go with the flow. Pray. Keep praying. Keep trusting him. Have faith. And just go with the flow. And he will flow it to you. Okay? But yeah, I'm going to change the theme song. Sorry people, I know you probably like the theme song, but got some changes just have to happen, you know. And Discovery people, I'm going on to my fifth season. You know, I've been on the air for 4 years. I'm ready going to my fifth season sometime in July and August. So I'm just like y'all guys in the fifth season. And I'm already making sure to do a 6th and 7th season. And also start a new podcast, Science Fiction Stories and True Crime Stories. So the True Crime Story is going to be real. I'm get my writers to get information about true crime around the globe and around the country. Like New York, Chicago, and all. And report it. And some of the most bad neighborhoods, you know. And I'm going to get that news to y'all. And it's going to be 30 minutes news. I'm going to get the weather to you. I'm going to get some of the entertainment news to you. I'm going to get the sports news to you. And crew crimes news. It's going to be 30 minutes with true crime in New York, Chicago, Pennsylvania, Miami, Baltimore, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, that's some of the cities that I'm coming, and it's going to be a lot more that I'm going to add on to, okay? And it's going to be a 30-minute news story, news section for 30 minutes, and I'll give it to you probably when I can. I would say every day, but I would say when I can. And just catch it when you can, okay? It's definitely going to be on all platforms, I hope, again. And I'm ready to go soon. I get it to the writers and all who write the podcast. But got to save my money because I'm trying to get a new TV and all. And so I would expect that to be at the end of the first half of the year, like June, or at the second, very beginning of the second half of the year, like first week or second week of July, okay? Yeah, you won't have to wait that long because I'm going to let them write it, and then I'm going to give it to you later. And it's probably going to be old news. And once the show goes on and on, you will get the new news. But when the show first starts, it's called True Crime Stories. True Crime Stories. News around the globe. Around the country. And we're just going to do the basic cities, like I said. Houston, Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Baltimore, Miami, and those cities, okay? And then we're going to just add more from the south, like Georgia, Mississippi, and Nashville, Tennessee, Amsterdam, and all of them, and all the other cities in between states and stuff. Okay, so just give me time to get there because it would have been way up and done by last November or December if I wouldn't got sick and all. But put things back and all. And so I try to, if I can get it up sooner, I will. But I got to get my new TV, okay? And I got to save my money. This is my New Year revolution, to save money. And I'm going to see how much I can save. My goal is to save $2,100 by December the 31st of this year. See that I can save that much. So please pray for me. Okay? Please. And thank you for listening to the Corey Whitlock podcast show. I went over. But thank you for listening. Have a great night. And live long and prosper. May the force of God be with you. Ashley, and we love you. Good night.